Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by a thousand miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is a brand new early edition of Gaming Uncensored, and I'm too old for this. Kind of reminds me of the morning show days, and I don't really want to go back to that. What's up, sir?
Not much, man. I've got my coffee here to make sure I make it through the show.
I had to chug mine. I had to chug mine before we fired this up. Just so you folks know, it's about 8:45 in the morning. And I am becoming a morning person as I get older.
Yeah.
But if you've ever really tried to be entertaining before about 9:45 in the morning, it's not a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's fair. It can be a challenge. So
you teach students, and that's pretty much the same kind of a thing. That's got to be hard to do.
It is. I have cheated, though, and I get to make my own schedule, and I don't have morning classes right now. So my earliest class is at 11 o'clock, which is the way to do it.
Yeah. Get that coffee in. Take a little relax. I like it. That works.
That is strategic.
Yeah. I'm just glad I'm not, at this point, I'm not like my dad. My dad wakes up at like 5:30 in the morning, his feet hit the floor and he's gone. Like I don't know how you do that. Apparently that's an old man thing, but I don't have that yet.
No, I do get up a lot earlier than I want most days, but that's not my choice.
Yeah, baby will do that.
The baby will definitely do that. So
baby will do that.
Yeah, no.
What's on the show this week, sir?
We got Sony had a state of play last week. We're catching up because I've missed a couple weeks, as everybody realizes. So we're catching up a little bit. Sony has state of play, so we'll talk about that. We've got just some like general industry news, some stuff specifically around Sony as well, and so we'll hit on that. Ubisoft is in a weird place. I don't think that's any surprise at this point, but we'll talk a little bit about Ubisoft. BioWare, kind of the same thing. And ESA apparently is trying to bring back not E3.
Okay, this is weird. We're going to have to spend some time on this because I saw this. I read the story and it's really kind of weird.
Oh, weird. So we'll talk about what that is or is it or whatever they want. I don't know. The ESA is what it is at this point, and Summer Game Fest is confirmed and that's happening, and we're going to do that. And if the ESA decides to do something, we'll I'm sure talk about it as well. But it has seeded all ground at this point of what E3 was.
I think it's hilarious to me that they don't realize just give Jeff some money.
Right.
And let Jeff do the work. Like, just like, I would love to see an opening night for Summer Game Fest with fewer commercials on YouTube. Like, can we give that dude some money so he doesn't have to run commercials every 5 minutes?
Yes.
Like, it's please.
Yes. That would be fantastic. So agreed there. So we got a couple other things too. We'll see how much of it we get to. We'll talk about some games as well, because I've been playing some games. And so,
I've been playing some. But the funny thing about this week is that I've spent most of my time trying to keep up with you. So I did get some gaming in, but mostly I've been sitting over here wondering if you somehow developed a crack at it or something. Like, dude, this dude, he's putting up more than I can handle here.
You sent me a text that was something like, you're like a 13-year-old ramped up on Pixie Sticks and Mountain Dew. It's fair. I've been playing some catch up. Been back into Final Fantasy. That's where I've been putting my time. I have played a little bit of Indiana Jones. I'll talk about that here in just a little bit. So okay, I haven't given up on that completely.
See, I wish I'm wondering how far ahead that you are, because Thursday night I got to right where I thought you were, which is at the start of the Siam area, and I was like, okay, that's it. I'm gonna stop right there, and then we can talk about it. I did do something, which we'll talk about when we come around to it, that I had not tried, which was the revisit mechanic. I want to chat a little bit about that in a little bit, But yeah, I think we're relatively in the same place.
Pretty close. If it wasn't for PlayStation Network being down, we would have been. But yeah. PlayStation Network went down last week, and I had to play something, so I went back to Indiana. So we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. Before we do all that, big thanks to the Patreon guys. Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavosh, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, Andrew, Luik, Logan, Liz, Jordan, Gio, and Derek. Thank you guys for your support, of course, for helping us be able to play games, because it's about time to get some new games, because we're getting to the end of a couple of games, which is fun. And so,
yeah,
thank you for that support, but also thank you for helping us pay for all the costs that go into hosting a podcast and all that good stuff. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do that. Go by gaminguncensored.com, click that Become a Patron link. You'll get the video version of this show most of the time on one of the last ones that screwed up and we just never posted it, but most of the time you get that. Really, our Patreon stuff, we're not super great about it, and so we really more so just appreciate your support. But, we're gonna try to give you some stuff here or there.
Let's just be honest, we suck.
Yes,
we suck. We really need to
if
hire.
You're expecting like a strong reciprocal relationship from giving us money on Patreon, I've got bad news for you, but we do appreciate your support a ton.
We really need to hire somebody that's all they do.
Yes.
It's like somebody that calls me and says, make this. And then I make it and they put it up.
Yes.
That's what needs to happen. We have not met that person, but that's what needs to happen.
Yes. However, speaking of that, this is a good time to go by the Patreon, because there is content there, and that content is public for anybody who wants to go by there. So even if you don't want to support us, go by the Patreon, because there is about 40 minutes of Jamie and Cabbage discussing Monster Hunter, which is a good time. So go check that out.
Okay, so I gotta ask. Did we sound remotely intelligent? I'm not sure.
I mean, remotely doing a lot. No, it's not doing a lot of work. But yeah, y'all sounded great. It was good. It was interesting to me, because, you know, so Cabbage loves Monster Hunter fanboy. You and I have never put any time into it until you picked up the beta and played around with it a little bit. I still have not put any time into it. And so it was illuminating to me hearing Cabbage talk about it from the perspective of somebody who has played it a lot and is very deep into this world and knows, you know, kind of Monster Hunter inside and out, and to hear you talk about it as somebody who is very new to the world and kind of what your experiences were, and hearing about the accessibility stuff and all that, which was a big part of the conversation as well. I thought it was really fascinating. Again, that was me as just an observer. I didn't have anything to do with this. And so I enjoyed it. And so you will probably enjoy it too if you want to go by the Patreon and take a listen to that.
Well, I will tell you that after we stopped recording, he did tell me to tell you, you need to get off your butt and you need to play Monster Hunter.
That's fair.
And if you want to stream it so that we can call it show stuff, I think that would make sense. He would really like for us to do that because he really believes that Monster Hunter is one of the biggest franchises out there that we do not touch. And I got to admit, if I had more fingers that worked and reflexes and various things, I think it would be something that I would find really, really interesting.
Yeah.
So I know too much to get into, but
it's one more thing, but
seriously, he was dug it. He's like, please just get into play it.
Yeah. After listening to y'all talk about it, it really has me much more interested. And I think, you know, obviously that's for anything, like if you know somebody who's like, oh yeah, this thing is really cool, like that carries a lot more weight than just seeing it, you know, on, you know, a trailer or something like that. And so hearing you guys really talk about it, you know, piqued my interest a lot more than anything else has about Monster Hunter. And I really do. I'm very interested at this point in giving it a go. I'm assuming, and Cabbage, please tell me if I'm right or wrong here. I'm assuming that I can pick up Wilds and like get into it.
Yes.
And
yes.
Not have to like know everything from previous Monster Hunter games. Because franchise has been around for like 25 years or something. It's crazy how far back this thing goes.
What he told me, which I'm glad to find out, is that Wilds actually runs differently than Monster Hunter World. Monster Hunter World was apparently level based, like you started a quest and it dropped you into an environment and like here's the monster and this is what you're supposed to do. This thing is open world. This thing is like playing not open world, but sort of pseudo open world. It's like playing Diablo or something to that effect. That you're out and about and there's a village and there's a various other things going on that you go back to when you're not out hunting a monster. And so I don't think you'll have a problem dropping into this game because as he said on the content, this is not about the story.
Yeah. Like
the story's there. It's like a Final Fantasy 16 level, like, oh, that's weird story. but it's there. But that's not what you go for.
Yeah.
So
that makes good sense.
I don't think you're gonna have a problem. Like I said, I think the draw to the game is the sense of accomplishment because it really does have a Shadow of Colossus vibe to it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like here's this really huge monster that will smash your face in. See if you can defeat it.
Like, yeah, that's something else.
Yeah.
When you kind of mentioned that, I was like, okay, that also gets me more interested of hearing that kind of it's Shadow of Colossus vibes. I go, oh, okay. That makes sense to me. Like that clicks in a way. And so yeah. It's good stuff. Go by Patreon, check it out.
I will tell everybody if you are not a Patreon member, and I haven't talked with Tommy about this, I meant to bring it up before. We started the show here. We'll talk about it after the show. But Cabbage and I have some plans for some possible other content starting in about a month. The reason we're going to wait a month or two is because Monster Hunter Wilds comes out on the 28th. and he ain't doing nothing else for a month. but after a month or so, we have some ideas for some other content, which I would love to get you involved in, because yeah. I think this next idea that we have is something that you and I are all over, and that he hasn't had a chance to play. So we're looking at doing something else, and you and I will talk about that later. All of that to say, there's going to be some more Patreon content.
There you go.
So I'm really excited about this.
Yes, that is a good thing. We could always use more Patreon content. So all that said, should we talk about some games?
Absolutely, sir.
So I'll mention we've been playing Final Fantasy. I don't know if there's anything we need to talk about. So with Final Fantasy.
I do have one thing to talk about on that. I am, the longer it goes, the more old school it feels, because a couple of times while you've been playing, I'm like, okay, we're almost done. Like, we're almost the end. and you know, I look up and like 10 hours later, I'm like, it's still going. Yeah. And I said something to the cabbage about it while we were doing that thing Saturday. And he goes, dude, that game is long. He was like, I like it so much, but that game is so long.
It does keep going.
And so we really think we're close to the end, but the longer that it goes, I really don't think we are. I think we've got several more hours to go before we get to the end, because they haven't resolved anything yet.
Yeah.
So one thing I wanted to talk to you about this, and we talked about this at the very beginning, and it kind of has to do with Indiana Jones as well. What bothers you about Indy at this point? Because I played the two sections that you talked about that were more linear than the rest of the game. And I'm assuming after playing Shanghai and after playing the Himalayas, I'm assuming that's more of what is vibing with you, is what you would like to see, as opposed to the more here's this environment and a bunch of quests that you've already played, just do them over again. I'm thinking you want more of that Uncharted, like very linear, let's go whack some Nazis situation.
Yes, let me clarify, because I think it's important to clarify here. I want more of that in Indy, because that's what Indy right. does well. If they did the more open world stuff well, I would love that. Like, yeah. I love that concept with Indiana Jones. The problem is what you said in there exactly is that it's just so repetitive.
Right.
If it wasn't so repetitive, if they did a better job of the open world stuff, I would love that side of it. No, like, I think of, like, Horizon, you know, like, Horizon's open world, Horizon's amazing, you know. But it's not repetitive in that same way.
So
Indy just, it's so repetitive.
Let me make my point here, because I've been curious about this, especially yesterday. Mm-hmm. Rebirth is the same way. Are you getting tired yet?
No, and this is the thing, because it's a good point, because you do essentially kind of the same things when you go to each place. And to be fair, I've skipped over a couple, I'm still not a completionist, like we've talked about that before. I am more of a completionist in Final Fantasy than I am in Indy.
You are doing more of Final Fantasy right now than I ever thought. Like, I'm digging it, because
yes.
you're doing the vast majority of the content, which I never thought you would do.
But here's why, and this is the difference between what it does and what Indy does. And if Indy did this better, I would do more of that content in Indy as well. There's a reason to do that content in Final Fantasy that is compelling, right? So you go from area to area in Final Fantasy, and you get the towers, which, you know, I'm a sucker for, like, that just exploration right. side of it. Like, it gives me yep. a reason to explore, which Indy does not nearly as well. But then you also have, you know, like the getting the summons, like I forget what they're called, but the where you go and find their shrines or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then when you go to Chadley to do the summon fight, it like debuffs the summon, so it's easier. You know, like, but there's a reason to do that. Like, there's, I want a new summon. I can't beat it straight up, but I could go do these couple of things and then I can beat it. And that gives me a reason to do this that pays off. That is something I really want to accomplish. I get this world intel that I can then go to, you know, create new materia. I get, you know, like, there's a reason for those, you know, busy work, quote unquote, busy work things that are happening in Final Fantasy that make me want to do them. And they're just more fun. You know, like, that's maybe more of anything else at the end of the day. Like, the combat in Final Fantasy is just fun. Like, it's fun to fight dudes in Final Fantasy. Like, and so, like, the challenges where you have to go, like, find, like, it's an enemy and it has, like, the three, you know, like, things you have to accomplish, stagger them,
right,
don't die, beat them in the, you know, time, whatever right. it is. Like, those are fun because they're a challenge. Like, you got to be strategic about it. Okay, you got to figure it out. And that's fun.
Here's my interesting, so about 30 hours back, you skipped a couple. You were like, you did a couple of me, and you didn't get it like the first or second time, and you kept going. I was like, okay, he's done. He's done. He's not gonna do these. I just better get ready because I don't know what the reward is for doing those fully, but he's done. Now you're back on completing them. You've done a lot of replays, and I find that really interesting because I really did. About 30 hours ago, I was like, yeah, he's done with these.
Yeah. There is, like, I have a limit to what I'm going to put up with when I get frustrated with these things, and I'm like, okay, this isn't worth the hassle. So there are a couple, specifically, like, those, like, fighting certain enemies, you gotta, like, check off all three boxes, and there's one for whatever reason that I can't figure out, and I go, screw it, and I leave. Because there's not enough of a payoff to make it worth my while to, like, beat my head against the wall for 3 hours to do it.
Right.
Like, I still have limited time to play games, and I'm not going to do something that I find uber frustrating. This is one of the things that I really enjoy and also find frustrating in the area that we're in now in the canyon is the, like, chocobo gliding mini game, right?
Right.
Like, you get on the chocobo and you have to glide through the different point hoops and whatever.
It's pilot wingy.
It is very pilot wingy, and that's fun. And, like, I dig it, except for one massive issue that, like, maybe I'm missing something. Somebody can tell me how I'm just overlooking this, if this is a thing. But otherwise, to me, it feels like a bug. Sorry, my light over here went out, so my face got darker all of a sudden.
It's not that bad.
It's just got a mood bad. Lighting now. It just threw me off. Anyway, the problem is that the right stick doesn't do anything. I can't look around. And so, like, these goals, and we're getting, you know, way too granular in this for anybody who hasn't played the game, but these goals are, like, below you and around you, and the only way that I can find them is by, like, actually changing my trajectory, which screws you up because you got to follow a very, very defined path in order to get all the points and get all the benefits and that kind of stuff. And so, like, if I could just use the right stick to look around, which is what the right stick does all the time, right? Like, that's the purpose of the right stick for everything, except when I'm on the back of this stupid chocobo, I can't do it for some reason. That is super frustrating to me because I could do these so much easier if I could just look down and see where the next one is at. But instead, I'm just guessing, and then I have to redo it like 5 times to try to figure out that. And so I've kind of gotten to the point with those. I'm like, screw it. Like,
unless the
get them all, like, goal, right, like, prize is something I really want, I'm not gonna bother with.
So if you haven't seen the video, some of these are pretty funny because he's like, he misses one or two, and he's like, yeah, I quit.
Yeah.
And just lands the chocobo. He's like, I'm just going to start over. And it looked like the first couple of times I saw it, I swear, it looked like Genevieve was driving. I was like, yeah, sure. Genevieve got the controller. There she is.
Nope. 41-year-old man over here just trying to like figure this stupid thing out.
Yeah.
It's irritating because, you know, like it could work better with like what they want you to do. And this is the thing I refuse to do because I don't like it at all. They want you to use the motion controls to do it. And so by default, the way that the gliding works,
you're talking about the one where you move the physical controller around. Yeah. Is that okay?
Yeah. So you, holding on to the PlayStation 5 controller, you tilt it forward, you tilt it backwards, the side. And I'm not into that. I don't want to do that at all. And so you can bypass that and just use the left stick to control, which is what I want to do. But again, when you do that, the right stick doesn't do anything. And it's just like, I'm just like, I just want it to work. So anyway, that's a really good example of one of those things I'm not going to be completionist about because I find it really irritating, even though I would love to be completionist about it because I think it's also really fun. But because it doesn't quite work, I'm just not going to spend a whole lot of time, again, banging my head against the wall when I have limited time to play games. And I really, as much as I love Final Fantasy, we've been playing this game for over a year now, right? It came out last February.
Yeah.
Like, we got to finish it. I got to play some other stuff. I mean, we played some other stuff in there, but that's been the bulk of my gaming for a year. I need to play other games, you know, but I love it so much. I'm not giving it up until we get through it.
Well, that's what I was going to say. This is the rare point where we're not going to get another one of these for 2 years. So if it goes for 50 more hours, like, I don't care. Like, it's what it is, because whatever else there is out there, it's probably not as good as, like, there's other games we need to play. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's probably not as good as this.
Yes. And that's kind of, that's my thing right now is, like, I would love to play some other stuff, but I'm also just really enjoying this. And again, I did play some other stuff. I played indie, and that's fine. But Final Fantasy is just so much better for me to the games that I like, to what I enjoy doing. Like, it just, like, okay, I'll play indie some here and there, but I'm going to spend my time back in Final Fantasy. And having that like 2 month break from it or whatever, that I primarily played Indiana Jones, was nice to get away from the game. But then it just made me so much more appreciative of it when I came back. It was like, oh yeah, this is really good. And indie is fine, but this is really good. You know, it's compelling,
I really feel like this is one of those things that I wish we were big enough to get Jeff on the show, because one question I would ask Jeff Keighley about Indiana Jones is, can you explain to us why the entire internet loves this thing and we don't? Because I saw a Reddit post like 2 days ago from a guy that was like, the game is so good and I don't want it to end. Is it worth going back to each environment and doing the completionist thing? And I'm like, it's a good game, but I don't feel that way about it. And it's not just one thread on Reddit. It's everywhere. People love it.
Yeah.
And I can't figure out what's wrong with us. Because I did the section on the ship, and it was great. I loved it. I got shot at by Nazis and died several zillion times.
Yes.
Like, I felt like Steven Seagal in Under Siege.
Yes.
On the ship, like, trying to kill the terrorists, and I failed. Like, if I was Steven Seagal, that would have been a really, really short movie. So I get to the end of that section and I get to the point where you swing on the crane and then the stuff falls and it moves you over close to where the next platform is supposed to be. And I did that like 50 times. Like, I was trying to get onto that platform where that crane moves, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I could not do it. And I hollered at Peyton. And I was like, come see if you can do this. Of course, he did it one time, which pisses me off. Because, like, he just, oh, yeah, okay, like this. I it's one of those things that it just, the things that it doesn't execute perfectly just don't work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just don't work. I repeat, those sections where it's indie and you're running for your life, those need to be more automatic.
Yeah.
I don't want to have to do those 50 times to get over them. And yeah, I know I'm the minority. I'm the guy with a handicap and no reflexes, and I get it. But you said it perfectly. It's about being Indiana Jones. And I want to do those sections one time and feel cool.
Yes.
Like I just do.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that completely. So I'll mention I got back into it. So I've played two or three more hours of Indy. Because PlayStation Network was down
last week for a
couple of days. And so I could play Final Fantasy, but I could stream it. And I didn't want to do that to you. So you're
welcome for you.
Final Fantasy without you. So like, I want to play something. Yeah. So I picked back up Indy. And what I did is I've said, okay, I'm kind of ready to be done with Indy. Again, it's good. I enjoy it, but I'm not the pacing of the ship in the Himalayas and Shanghai section was so good. You're like, yeah, now we're into a flow. And then you hit Siam and it goes, what? And it's just like back to a screeching halt, you know? And I'm just like, no, like I was really digging what you were doing. And now we're back to, and so what I did is I went and did kind of the first, like the main quest thing that you have to do to kind of proceed. And I said, okay, I'm just going. And I just skipped over at this point basically everything else in Siam. And we'll see if I come back and do anything there. I don't know. But just kind of getting to the next big story beat. And that's where I'm at now. And it's very cool. Very cool. Like the next big story beat. I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. I'm really glad I didn't spend like 3 hours of gameplay just going around and doing all the stuff in Siam, assuming that it's going to be very similar to everything else I've done in the game, because this thing is not. This thing is very different. When you get there, you'll be like, oh, crap, that's really different. Like, it's very cool. And so, like, again, just to that testament of, like, if the pacing were right in this game, it would be, in my opinion, a game of the year contender. Like, I think that's the biggest issue with this, is just, does it have any sense of pacing at all? If they did that better, like, big indie, super cool, you know, a blast, everything else. It was so close to being, to be like something really special. And instead, it's a good game. Again, good game, but not phenomenal. So
let me just ask you this before we wrap this. When indie is done, You said we need to play other stuff, and you're right. But when that's done, what is next on your radar that you're looking at? Like, we really need to pick that up and play it. Because at this point, I don't know. The only thing on my radar right now that I'm super interested in that I feel like we have to try is Split Fiction, which is coming out shortly.
Yeah.
So assuming that you finish Indy pretty quick, I'm not going to be as quick. Here's what's absurd about Indy. I was looking at the clock and unlike you, I don't really pause for long periods of time. So when I look at the clock, my clock is fairly accurate. I have 50 hours in Indy.
Yeah.
50. That's how slow I am, right? So I'm thinking Siam is probably going to take longer than it probably should. But when you are done with this, what do you see next on the radar that you're like, okay, we need to play that?
You know what I really like, because I've thought about this. The thing I really want to play is Astrobot. Like,
oh, I agree.
Yeah,
we have to see that.
It just I haven't seen it basically at all. I know,
and you have a kid,
and I have a kid. That's a big part of it too. I know kind of minimal details about it, but enough to know that it's gonna be something I enjoy. Like it's just, you know, right in line with stuff that I dig.
Yeah,
that's really where I think I'm going next, and okay. It kind of again why I want to get done with stuff is so I can get there and do that because I'm
really.
Will mentioned because you mentioned Split Fiction. The other thing I've played a chunk of is oh my goodness, what is it called? The other Joseph Ferris game.
It Takes Two.
It Takes Two. Thank you.
Like that with Genevieve. Yeah. Yes.
And so we've played more of that just recently. We've talked about that in the past couple of shows. We're getting close to the end of that. I'm really excited about that. But she loves it. It's fantastic. I mean, it's Joseph Ferris.
And that's the thing, because you haven't been around, I haven't played it. So yeah. I feel like
Hazelight stuff is just really good. Split Fiction looks very. I don't know that Genevieve is going to be into Split Fiction.
No, Split Fiction is a you and me thing.
It's more like a way out. Whereas. Is definitely right up, even though It Takes Two is not like a kiddie game. Like it's both heavy and that it's like dealing with divorce. Like the whole premise is a mom and a dad are getting divorced and then they get transported into these dolls and have to like fix their relationship while trying to like become human again, essentially, which is led to some really interesting conversations with my now 7-year-old daughter who had a birthday yesterday.
Holy cow, I missed the birthday.
It's crazy.
I feel horrible now. I gotta send her something. I missed the bro. I'm glad you said that.
I got her a new controller for her birthday. That was one of her birthday presents. And so she's playing It Takes Two with her new controller, which is exciting. Okay. So anyway. But having serious conversations, and they, you know, like it's not a super vulgar game, but they curse from time to time. And Genevieve is at the age where she like knows curse words. And she's like, oh, they said a bad word.
Yeah.
Which is also very entertaining. But game's fantastic. It's really good. And Hazelight does really good stuff. And so that's why I think Split Fiction would probably be really good too. So
yeah.
All that said, we should probably talk about some news.
We should.
Talking about a whole bunch of other stuff for a long time now. As mentioned at the beginning of the show, Sony had a state of play. Not the newsiest state of play of all time. Lots of games that they talked about in here that are kind of that like B tier kind of stuff. And Sonic Racing Cross Worlds. Like,
okay. All right. I gotta tell people.
I know.
We've talked about how much I think we love PTI. Pardon the interruptions, one of our favorite shows ever made, because it's like 24 minutes every day and it's everything you need to know in sports. Like, it's not a lot of wasted time. Love me some Stephen A. Smith. Love First Take. Can't do it. Too much.
Yep.
But I love me some Pardon the Interruption. And I'm realizing that I text you about this stuff the way that Mike texts Tony. Like, I don't care what time it is. If I'm watching something, you just get this stream of text that probably don't make any sense at all. And I saw this Sonic Racing thing, and I'm trying to be into it, but this is like the dumbest idea I've ever heard of in my life.
He's
Sonic the freaking Hedgehog. He does not need a go-kart. Right alone. It's stupid.
His whole thing is he's fast.
Yes!
That's the whole premise of Sonic.
It's ridiculous! It's horrible! Somebody should be fired!
That's it.
I realize they want a Mario Kart competitor. I get it! But seriously?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, you're spot on, and that cracked me up when I saw that. I very much enjoyed that. It's very true. So there was a whole lot of stuff like that in the state of play, and we're not going to go through all that. But a couple of relevant things, and these weren't big announcements. These are games we already know about, but it's good to have some more details, such as a release date for Metal Gear Solid Delta Snake Eater, so the remaster of.
Are you still excited? Because I'm very excited.
I am too. And I think the biggest reason I'm excited is not because I'm so excited about playing Snake Eater again, which I am, because it's been a long time. You and I played that game together. Yes. 15, 20 years ago, whatever it was, a long time.
Long time.
And loved it. Yeah. Really, really. And so it's a great game. But it's also, we just haven't had Metal Gear in a long time. And I just haven't, like, scratch that itch. We talk about that all the time, of a game scratching an itch. Metal Gear is a specific type of itch, and so having a reason to get into Metal Gear, even though it's a game we've played before, it's going to be fresh enough to me because it's been so long since I've played it. Yeah. And it's Metal Gear, like, it's a no-brainer.
I'm so excited, and that we don't have time to play Metal Gear. Right. We don't have time to stream a Metal Gear. But that's what's, to me, and I can't believe I'm saying this, that's the next big title on the radar. Yeah, Onimusha is going to be great. Split Fiction is going to be great. But that's the next one that's going to own us for 30, 40 hours, however long that takes. And I'm sorry that you're going to have to stream every single second. Yeah. But I yeah.
Yeah.
That sure. One I may actually buy on PC because I feel like it would probably be fairly doable. But yeah, I'm going to make you stream it anyway.
Yeah, for sure. There's no reason not to. It's going to be fantastic. So that comes out August 28th. That's the big news, since we've got a release date for it. And again, the other big, you know, just this is personal, like, fandom of loving the series for so long. I'm also really excited because it's David Hayter's voice back. And Kiefer Sutherland is great. And Metal Gear Solid 5 was nearly a great game, other than the fact that it just doesn't finish. Like, they just didn't finish the game, which is still the most mind-boggling thing. Anyway, it was fantastic. Kiefer Sutherland did a great job, but David Hayter is Solid Snake for me. And so getting to play a Metal Gear game with David Hayter being Snake again, and just, like, it just, that's all of the, like, things coming together into, like, okay, yeah, that's a no-brainer.
Yep.
Onimusha, we saw some more of. We don't have a release date for it. It's sometime next year. But they did give us a new gameplay trailer on that again. This is, both of these games are just us being nostalgic because these were games we loved when we were, like, in our late teens, 20s. Like, that's kind of when these were big.
Yep.
Onimusha was PlayStation 2, as where I really remember, you know, like, I'm sure there was a PlayStation 3. I don't remember when Onimusha 2 came out. There is a remaster of Onimusha 2.
Which I'm not sure that I played.
I did. I think I played both those two games. But either way, Onimusha, the new one, very pretty. This new trailer gives it a lot more personality. Like, the one that we saw at the Game Awards was just like Onimusha gameplay, and it was like, that's cool enough because it's fun, it's an interesting world, it's kind of dark and not a horror game, but has, like, these very dark overtones to it, and you know, that's fun. But this one, like, had some personality, where you get to see, you know, like, some of the humor to it, which is cool. And so that was fun. I'm excited. It made me even more excited about this game that I'm always pretty excited about. So Onimusha is fantastic. Apart from that, again, it was a lot of kind of, those are interesting looking games, or like Split Fiction we saw again, but these are things that we've seen. Splitgate, which is like a portal shooter game.
Yeah,
like,
look, I have to say something about this. I applaud everybody's right to make the game that they want to make. But there are some games that I wouldn't touch. Yeah. there's some concepts that I would not try, because there are games out there that are so iconic that you can't. And that's the deal with this. Yeah. This is Portal. This is some team trying to do Portal. And it's just like, really?
Yeah.
Like, I can't.
Yeah.
I'm not like, why would you even try?
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I am too. It doesn't interest me in the slightest, even though I love Portal. You know what would interest me? Portal 3, Valve.
Portal 3.
Like, please, guys. Make a third in a franchise, for crying out loud. And anyway, one more I wanted to mention, just because it looks really interesting, was the Midnight Walk. Which is kind of indie-ish, claymation style game with, like, you gotta light this little dude's head on fire and navigate
the
horror world. Very, very cool look to it. Very cool, like, gameplay idea. I'm interested in that one.
I gotta say, I'm not really a Tim Burton guy.
Yeah,
we went through a portion of our lives where Tim Burton was a huge deal.
Yes.
And everybody was in Tim Burton, everything he did. Love Tim Burton. I was not that guy. But that being said, when I saw this, the first thing I thought was Tim Burton. I want to play that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. Yeah. So yeah, I'm into this.
Yep. Me too. Tim Burton to me still has made the best Batman movie of all time. And so he will always have that. I really like, you know, other Tim Burton stuff, but he did Batman the best, and that's all I care about. So anyway, that was kind of big takeaways from the State of Play. Again, not going to get into all the other stuff. I will mention here, because we mentioned Astrobot earlier, there's a story in the show notes. By the way, go by GamingUncensored.com, see the show notes. That PlayStation says it's planning to release more family games like Astrobot. The success of Astrobot apparently made them go, oh, this is something that we should probably look into. And I think that's probably fair. Now, again, I don't know if Astrobot was kind of a one-off, but I think they could do more stuff in this vein, because, like, Ratchet and Clank was so freaking good.
Yeah, it was. It was great.
Sony, and this is, we'll transition to the next story as well, because I think this next story makes an interesting analogy here, but Sony, it feels like, has kind of, in a good way and in a bad way, has pigeonholed itself as like the, like, we make serious adult games.
We're the adult platform. Yeah,
it's The Last of Us, it's God of War, it's, you know, like Uncharted, which is not, you know, but still is lots of violence, lots of cursing, you know, like whatever. Like, they have said, we make mature games really well, which they absolutely do, and I love that about Sony, because those are all fantastic games. But they can do a lot more, and they can be good at it, and they've shown that they can be good at it. So I'm interested to see how they kind of approach that, which brings us into this next story, which is an interesting story. Again, encourage you to go by the show notes to read the whole thing. This is a former PlayStation exec talking about kind of general state of the industry, and specifically about Microsoft's approach of being multi-platform at this point, and how that's probably a good idea, which I think it's probably a good idea that things are becoming much more content focused than they are console focused, platform focused, and Microsoft is obviously on top of that. But this was the interesting bit I took out of this story. I thought this was a fascinating analogy. I kind of want to get your thoughts on it too. He kind of made this metaphor of Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo as the PlayStation is like HBO, Microsoft is like Netflix, and Nintendo is like Disney. And I went, oh, that makes a lot of sense to me. Like, that kind of clicked whenever he said it, in a way that I hadn't thought about, that Sony makes these kind of prestige level games. You know, Microsoft is like, we have tons of content, and some of the content is pretty good, some of the content's okay, but we'll give you some time. And Nintendo is like, we've also got tons of content that's a lot family oriented. I'm like, okay, I see where you're making this analogy, and it made something click in my head when I was considering the, you know, Astrobot story of like, okay, well, that works, but PlayStation needs to diversify some in there as well.
Okay, so I can talk a little bit about this, because instead of playing games yesterday before the show, which I should have done, but I felt like I was where I needed to be with Indy, and so I decided to do something else. I have been trying to finish Cobra Kai on Netflix.
Nice.
And I have one episode left. I'm going to watch that after we get done here. But I canceled my Netflix, so I'm trying to get through Cobra Kai and whatever else I want to get through, because at the end of the month, it's done, right? And I like Cobra Kai. We grew up with the Karate Kid.
Yes.
I like those characters. I like that the old guys are back. I like all of it. Cobra Kai is a great show. But one thing that is sort of striking about it, and you and I aren't, you know, like, it's funny that we work, both of us have in our lives, for multiple years of our lives, have worked at churches. You still do. I'm doing web design for one right now. Like, we're those people. We spend the vast majority of our life in church, and that's what we do. So when I'm watching something like The Karate Kid and they drop an F-bomb two or three times during an episode, a half-hour episode, I'm like, I'm not real sure about that. And then you got, like, the Squid Game, and you got some, like, really creepy stuff that's really out there. And out of all of the streaming services that I felt comfortable canceling, Netflix was like, when I found out they were going up again, I was like, that's it. I can't pay for this. And I was talking to another friend of mine this week, and I was telling her that I canceled. She was like, I can't do it. They got all my stuff. They got all my shows. You know, she's into the weird stuff. She's into the K-pop. She's into the whatever. And so that's a great analogy, because out of the three, Netflix is the one that's like, yeah, I don't really need this.
Yeah. And can I even take it a step further with Cobra Kai? Because I'm going to, let me preface this by saying I also really enjoy Cobra Kai, and it's like, I just haven't had any time to watch since they've dropped the last episodes, and I'm really excited to finish it out. And so that's on my, that's the next thing I'm watching when I have a little bit of time to watch.
Right.
Because I really enjoy it, because it's nostalgic and everything else. It's also, like, as great as it is, and I love that it's kind of a cultural phenomenon, like, it's also, like, a pretty cheesy, not super well-acted show.
Absolutely, yeah.
There's a reason
super cheesy
that Daniel and Johnny have not had a big movie career aside from, you know, like, coming back to do this.
let me tell you the analogy that I made, because I made this analogy with my friend, and you'll love this, because this is where we grew up. But it's, and I don't mean it as an insult, but it's Saved by the Bell level content.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's like watching Saved by the Bell.
And to be very clear, I love Saved by the Bell.
I do too.
You know, like, there's a place for that content. And this is going back to the kind of analogy here where I think this really works, is Microsoft has a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, if you go to Game Pass, like, indie even to me kind of fits that bill, right? Like, it's this, like, pretty good that I enjoy it, I really like it, but it's like, it also got a lot of really obvious flaws, you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't call Saved by the Bell a guilty pleasure, but that's kind of, it's kind
it
of
is,
like,
it absolutely is. And I think Cobra Kai is kind of a guilty pleasure too, and I'm perfectly fine with, like, there's nothing wrong with a good guilty pleasure show. Like, I'm all about a good guilty pleasure show. Cobra Kai is that, and a lot of kind of stuff that's on Game Pass is that. Like, it's something like Power Wash Simulator that I have put so much time into, you know, like, it's just a dumb game that I really enjoy. And there's a whole, like, we watch not a ton of Netflix stuff, but we, you know, like, one of the things as a family that we watch a lot of is, like, cooking shows, because we like cooking. I like
cooking.
Genevieve likes to cook. She just got some cooking stuff for her, but, like, that's a thing that we do a lot of. And so we watch a lot of ridiculous cooking shows, and, like, one of them is It Cake, which is, you know, like, with cake artists making, like, you know, illusion cakes that are supposed to look like
right
things. And it's just a stupid show, but it's great and it's entertaining. And I love that kind of content. And like that kind of content exists in the gaming world too. And like Microsoft is a lot of where that content comes from, you know? And so it just, again, and not to say that there's not that content on other streaming platforms or whatever, like it, there absolutely is. But
I mean,
like
I mean,
it just works as an analogy in a lot of ways.
One Tree Hill was on HBO. So HBO's got, you know, HBO's got that Saved by the Bell level content. And yes. I've seen about 30 seconds of One Tree Hill, but I've seen enough to know that's what it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. Everybody's got it, but Netflix has more of it than anybody else.
Yes. And again, as this analogy goes, I think it really, really works of kind of the, you know, interesting way of trying to define these companies and how, like, they could grow and do other stuff. And, like, again, Nintendo as Disney, I'm like, oh yeah, that totally clicks because they've got good stuff. They've got stuff that appeals to me. They've got stuff that appeals to my kid. They don't really have to do anything. They're going to keep me forever. You know, like it just like that right. one. And like, I do have to ask some questions about like, oh, do I need to keep paying for Game Pass? Well, I mean, not really. I'm going to pay for Game Pass. But like, there's just like Nintendo is a no-brainer at this point in my household. Like we will have a Switch 2. We will have a Switch 3. We will have Switch 47. Whatever they do, you know, like Nintendo's just going to be here forever because it's Nintendo. And like, it just, that's how Disney is. Like Disney is omnipresent in everything that we do. And so interesting. Yeah. There's obviously places that you can break down that analogy pretty quickly. But I thought that was fascinating in a way to think about it. So
yeah. And like I said, it really does fit. With that being the case, do you feel like Sony could go too far the other way? Because I love the concept of Astrobot. I love the fact that you want to play it. I love the fact that we're going to see it. I'm sorry, you have to stream it.
Of course.
Because I have to see it. But I have this sort of, it's not a fear, but I have a reservation about, okay, I don't want Sony to go too far the other way. Because out of all the platforms, what they do is my favorite content.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So do you have any, like, I hear what you're saying. They can expand, they can do some, but do you have any reservations about?
Oh, of course. Yes. Yeah. Definitely. You know, like I don't want them to stray too far away from what they do well. And like it's this weird thing, and I also don't want them just to do the same thing over and over again, which is where like Naughty Dog working on this new sci-fi thing that we saw, you know,
yeah,
whatever it was, like I'm super pumped about it. I want to see more of that. I really want, like, because it's both proven and new, you know, and that's kind of what I want from Sony, is you to give me stuff that gets me excited but I have faith in. Astrobot, when like it was coming out, I was like, why are you doing this? Like, I didn't get it at all, you know, and it just seemed, I was like, oh, this is a throwaway kind of Sony title thing. And then it was this massive hit, and I was like, oh, I am the one that is missing something here. Like, I am the one,
right? And see, going back to that, that's exactly about how I feel about indie. I'm like, I'm trying to find it. What are we missing?
Right,
what we're missing something, but I can't find it.
Yeah, but like Astrobot, I have no experience with. I got a good feeling. I'm not certain about this. We may get into it and go, hey, what is everybody talking about this for? But I have a feeling that we're probably going to love it pretty quickly just from what I know about it. Indie, we have played it and we don't get it, which is the different side of that. But I definitely get what you're saying. I do worry that they could do too much and lose that core audience that is here for Uncharted or The Last of Us or God of War or Horizon, or, you know, kind of go down the list of all those games that we adore, that Sony does really, really well. And so hopefully they don't lose that. And there's other companies that make good games that are like that, but Sony is just like, their in-house developers are so good at some of this stuff that we don't want to lose that. So
yeah.
Really quickly, I'll mention this and we'll wrap up. Go by the show notes, gamingcensor.com, because there is a few things we didn't get to, even stuff that I teased, like about Ubisoft. I'm sure we'll circle back around to, because there's going to be Ubisoft news in the future. Lots happening there. But the ESA, because we teased this, I just want to come back to this. The ESA is working to have a new event. As of right now, it's apparently called ICON, I-I-C-O-N, which is the Interactive Innovation Conference. It's not great, guys. Not great.
No.
That's a different thing altogether. It apparently is trying to be more like of an industry-focused event instead of a kind of fan-facing outward event. What E3, again, in my reading of it, there was that like 3-4 year period of E3 where they try to be much more industry-focused, like cut way back on like passes and all that kind of stuff, and it sucked. It just wasn't very interesting for those few years, and they realized that and went back to kind of the big fan-focused event. Apparently, they're trying to go back to that more industry-focused event, which honestly, there's probably space for, and it's, you know, not necessarily the worst idea. It's definitely not going to be E3. However, they have already kind of got everybody involved. So Sony, Nintendo, Microsoft, Disney, EA, Epic, UB, Square, Enix, Take-Two, Amazon Games, and Warner Brothers are all already named as participants in this. And so... that's cool, and we'll probably get a little bit of news out of it, but so not E3.
We should tell people that we've said it before multiple times, but you're pretty humble about it. You're the chair of production at a reasonable size music college. That's a big deal. Like, you do a lot of industry stuff, you're involved with the Grammy Association, like, You do this type of conference stuff when you're not teaching classes, right?
Yeah.
And so I thought, when I saw this, I immediately thought, hey, you and I probably need to get involved in this, whether we like it or not, because this is what we do for our day jobs, especially you, like, this is kind of where you live, you know, like these conferences kind of a thing. And so I'm looking at it, and yeah, it's not E3, but I'm also like, man, I wonder if we could like get there somehow.
Yeah.
Because we talk a lot about accessibility stuff on the show, and the issues that I have, and the issues that other folks have, and I'm just thinking about the Warfighter Engage guys and all they're doing. Like, I would love for us to go and meet up with them, and I could just see the potential for panels and different things that you normally would not have at a big fan-centered E3. Yeah. And so, all of that to say, the name is awful.
Yes.
And I would like to trash the idea, but it's really not that bad.
Yeah. That's kind of where I land on it, too. I think there's space for it, and I think there's space for it and Summer Game Fest to coexist in kind of two different arenas.
Right.
You're not making the big splashy announcements at ICON. You don't need to. Like, it's, you know, a much more, if it's an industry focused event, it'd be much more interesting to get some of the industry stuff out of that, which is fascinating stuff we talk about on the show all the time. And so I think there's space. I think it could work. And so we'll see if they actually follow through and do this and how long it lasts, because the ESA right now not doing the best job of making these kind of things stick. But there's space, and it could work. And separating this out from something like CES, or, you know, like other places where some of this stuff kind of happens,
right, but
happening fully game centric. Maybe we'll see what happens, and we'll talk about it regardless. So, really quick, couple of releases to mention. There have been some, nothing like super massive. Avowed is out, which we got to try. I believe it's on Game Pass, right? Like, should be.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's on.
No reason not to fire it up and check it out. Has an 81 Metacritic score, and so not bad, not great. Somewhere in there.
That basically goes back to what we're talking about. It's just sort of.
Yeah, which is every game I'm about to mention is kind of in that like 79 to 82 range. Here is where all these games land. So Avowed is there. PGA Tour 2K25, I mentioned just because I've always loved this. Used to be the Tiger Woods game. Tiger Woods not on the name of it anymore, but obviously a PGA Tour game. Just fun golf game. 82, right where you expect it to be. Like a Dragon, Pirate, Yakuza in Hawaii, which we've never been into the Like a Dragon stuff, but like it's got its whole fan base. And 79 on that one. And then Civ 7, which is definitely right in our wheelhouse, is out. That has a 80 Metacritic score. So all of those like solidly in that like right around 80 range.
I got it. I got to admit, I totally forgot about Civ. Mm-hmm. Totally forgot about Civ. So my question is, do we have enough Patreon money for you and I to buy a copy each of Civ? Because we need to be playing that.
We
like,
do.
I hate to admit it, but I'm thinking Frostpunk is going to have to go off my system. And I'm going to have to put that aside for a little bit and maybe Call of Duty, and we need to play some Civ.
This is 100% true. Yes, to both of those questions, we have the cash and we need to play it. We both had this idea, and I don't know where we got this because obviously we got it together. We both had this idea that this was going to be a Game Pass launch. So that I was looking for it on Game Pass.
Last week, I was like trying to install it. It's not there.
It's not there because it's not a Game Pass launch game. And I just, for whatever reason, had that stuck in my head from something last summer when Civ 7 was like sponsoring everything. Sponsored like the Future Game Show or whatever, or the PC Game Show, one of them. Like I just had in my head that it was a Game Pass game. And so I was really bummed when it wasn't.
Okay, couple of things on the, I don't know where I saw this. I don't know if I was surfing YouTube or whatever, but you are a hardcore Civ player. I think you finished a Civ game on every iteration of the game.
Yes,
that there has been. I have not. And one thing that I find interesting is that I saw an interview with Ed Beach on YouTube or somewhere. I think it was involved. I think it was something that maybe I stumbled onto it as a part of watching the State of Play, but I saw this interview with Ed Beach, and he was like, look, we figured out that we have a lot of players that start a game of Civilization but don't get all the way to the end. And he says, I hate that, because that's the point. That's, you're supposed to build the civilization, and you're not, I don't like that people get tired. And so that's why we created this ages system. And to be totally fair, I did the same thing with Frostpunk. Like I got to a certain point with Frostpunk and I was like, I gotta go play other stuff. I don't really have 8 zillion hours to figure this thing out. And so I'm interested in the ages mechanic from that perspective. And just real quick before we wrap up, I'm going to reverse that on you. How do you feel about it? Because you're the guy that sits through the entire thing and plays it and loves it, and the entire point of the ages mechanic is to like break it down and like not make it simpler, but like make it more bite-sized.
Yes.
How do you feel?
I reserve judgment a little bit because I want to play it and see, you know, how it plays. But I'm excited about the idea because it is, Civ is a grinding game, right?
Yeah.
Like, and that's part of the appeal to it. Like that's, I will always play through at least a full Civ run, and I always do like long turns, you know, like I want it to be that kind of slow burn thing, because I know I'm not going to play through it 5 or 6 different times, more than likely, that I'm going to have a good deep experience with. And I want to be able to really like develop a civilization that I want it to be. I want to not be feeling like I'm going to run out of turns with before I get to do what, you know, like that stuff. At the same time, I would be much more apt to play through it a couple more times if it were more accessible in that way. If it had that level of like bite size, feeling like I accomplished what I want to do, and also being able to pick it up and play it a few different ways, which would be really cool. And again, You just get so attached in a game like this to that thing that you're working on. And this is where, like, you brought up Frostpunk, and I think Frostpunk did a good job with this. Like, I didn't ever feel like I was so committed to, like, a city in Frostpunk that I could have, like, either start another or, like, do it again. And I played through, you know, like, Frostpunk. A handful of, I played through the campaign thing, and then I played through kind of all of the different like variations of like your starting place and that kind of stuff because they go relatively quickly for a city builder kind of game like that. If Civ can do something similar in that kind of pacing thing, I would be all for it. And the reviews for it are kind of that 80-ish kind of makes sense from what I've read just about other people playing it. Some people really like the changes. Some people feel like it's a little bit watered down compared to what Civ has been in the past. I really love the franchise. I'm not like the like so hardcore about Civ that like changing stuff is going to piss me off. I am open for some changes, especially in that Civ has been pretty static for a long time, and this honestly still feels pretty static in the grand scheme of things. But quality of life improvements, totally fine by me, and I'm excited to see how they pull it off.
Cool. Yeah. I'm really cute because like I need to finish Frostpunk. Like you gave me some pointers about how to get through that, about how to get through that campaign, and then Indy came out and it just sort of like it's sitting there on my system going, play me, and I'm like, nope. And so I need to go back and do that, and I don't want to make that mistake with Civ, because Civ's a big deal.
Yeah.
Civ's a big deal. So I'm hoping that it works out and it's more accessible is not the correct word.
Yeah.
I think bite size is I don't want to spend 4 hours on a Civ game and then okay, I created my civilization, we got the space, it's all good. What do I do now?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's fair. I will say I'm not in a massive hurry about it, because the one thing I have read about it is that it looks like it's a fairly buggy launch.
That's not good.
Yeah. Some UI issues and just some other things that can be fixed about it. And so I'm going to give them a little time to fix it. And so we're going to play Civ. I'm super pumped about it. I love Civ. I'll give them, you know,
a month
or two to get stuff worked out and make it a little bit easier. Again, I've got plenty to play until then, but I am jonesing a little bit to get to it. Like I'm legit excited because this is a franchise. I played Colonization when I was 8 or whatever it was, you know, and adored that game. Just like it is a foundational core game of my childhood. What got me into strategy games, really, you know, that whole kind of genre world. And so Civ has always had a special place for me, and definitely play Civ. So Yeah, good stuff. So go by the show notes, gamingcensored.com. Like I said, we definitely miss some stuff. And so you'll have some stuff there to catch up on.
We always miss some stuff. And we always tell you we're going to be back next week. We can't guarantee that we're going to be back next week.
Yes, we will be back. We got to say, we mentioned Genevieve's birthday. We did mention the birthday of the show. Like, we,
holy cow.
Yeah, this is 20 years of doing Gaming Uncensored. Like, just have totally overlooked that since the last time we did a show. We've hit a birthday guest. Hey, I don't remember what the date is for sure.
The 7th of February, 2005. So yeah. we're a few days over, but we are 20 years old. So if you want to get us a cake, we'll totally take a cake. If somebody wants to buy us a couple 5090s, we'll take those too.
Yeah.
Don't buy us 5070s. We don't want those. But yeah, if you want to buy us a couple 5090s for our birthdays, we'll definitely take those.
Let's say that. 20 years is crazy, man.
20 years is a long freaking time. Yeah. And the only reason we're still on the air after 20 years, I gotta say, is because of you guys. I don't think if it were not for the Patreon guys and Duff and everybody on the Discord that keeps us coming back, I don't know that we would still be here.
For sure.
And this is the first year in a really long time that I did not post anything on social media. Oh, it's a big deal. 20 years. Like, I did that last year, and the response that I got was, "You guys are still doing this?" I don't think people understand how vibrant, that for lack of a better word, this community is and has been. Like, I don't feel like we can quit. I don't, like, we have enough of you guys listening to us that for some reason enjoy it. I don't feel like we can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And I wish the people that were around when we started, I wish the people could feel that. Some of the people that we went to school with, because you guys are, like, seriously, you're the reason we're still here, and I'm grateful for it every single day, because we love games, but we're men in our 40s. You have kids. I have other issues. I don't know how much of gaming we would be doing right now if it wasn't for this show.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that.
Yes, completely agreed. And to just add on to that too, this show keeps you and I gaming together.
Yes.
Even if we were gaming without the show, we probably wouldn't be gaming together nearly as much as we are. And just having that shared experience of this industry is such a big deal. And
I know.
I appreciate you guys for helping me and Jamie keep playing games together.
I know we're sort of, we're out of time. We got to go. I know, but I just have to mention, I talked with Cabbage a little bit about that off mic. It's not really, this doing this for you and I is not really about the show anymore. And I think I talked about it the last time you were at my house, which was a long time ago, and we had an anniversary and we got all sappy. But I think a big portion of this, yeah, I love the show. I love doing this. But the main reason we're still doing it is because I get to play games with my buddy.
Yep.
And one thing that I'm going to talk with you when we get off the air is some more of that buddy gaming with the Cabbage, which I think you will be very interested in. Playing games the way that we play games, and they call it couch co-op now. Which I think is ridiculous, because the way that we grew up playing games, I've talked about this before, it's a social event. You do it with your friends in somebody's house, and you, like, there's food and there's drinks and there's various things. Like, that's how we play games.
Yep.
And I don't want to do it any other way. So you could strip everything else away from this. And I'm grateful to still be doing this, because if it weren't for this, I don't think, because we're not playing together, I think we probably would have really, really pared down the gaming, both of us, because that's just how we play.
Yeah.
And if we can't do that, why?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So thank you guys.
Yes, I'm glad we get to, and you guys are a big part of the reason why we get to, and that's a big deal. That's huge. And so do know we are appreciative of you giving us money on Patreon and listening to the show and all of that stuff too. And hopefully you guys feel that. We try to be upfront with that. But the biggest thing is you guys just give us a reason to keep playing games together. And yeah, it's massive. So
that's a very huge thing. We may never be Joe Rogan.
Right.
Nobody may ever know that we ever exist except you guys, and I'm okay with that.
100%.
I appreciate it very much. That being said, he's got to go to work. He's got a baby. He's got a mother-in-law. There's various things going on in his house. Hey, Grammy, nice to see you. We're glad you're there. Thank you for allowing us to do a show today. I don't know that I've ever given her a shout out on the show. It's probably a little weird. But she allowed us to do this today. Yeah. And I'm very grateful for that. That being said, you guys know where everything is. We got the voicemail line at
509 game 210.
Somebody needs to call into that sucker and give us another segment. So
we had segments for a little bit and then it kind of dried up. So yeah, we really
somebody give us a segment. Somebody call that and use that. That was actually what the thing with Cabbage was supposed to be, and then it went 40 minutes. So yeah, we need more segments. We've got the Discord. If you're not on the Discord, you need to be over there, because there's more people coming over there every day. Lots of discussion going on.
And if nothing else, Logan is telling you where to find free games or cheap.
Yeah. If you're cheap like we are, Logan is on top of it.
There was also really good discussion since the last time we did a show around this whole like state of the gaming industry thing that we didn't even get into here, but it's fascinating. And so you can find that over on the Discord as well.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So go over there, check that out. And just let us know what you think. That's the coolest thing about Discord is that we're both, like, I never thought I would say this, but we're both on Discord at some point every single day, peeking in there, looking to see what's going on.
Yep.
Because there's great discussion going on. So please come hang out with us. We would love to see you. Is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. And for one more week, we are Gaming Uncensored, and we are out. Would you like to submit
a segment for the show? Send it to gaminguncensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.